Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I am in shock, guys. If you didn't hear that, that was DJ Khaled, and he was saying congratulations to us. I'll play it one more time.
Congratulations.
And I'm just so grateful. I can't believe we're over 1 million downloads. It's been such a journey. It's going to continue to be a journey. And I love each and every one of you. So thank you for listening, downloading, and just being you. So hope you enjoy the app.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes until we segue into my friend Kia, who is awesome. And I feel like you guys need more of a single male perspective. So we're going to try to provide you with a lot of that up and coming, starting with Kia. So glad that he is coming on today. And before we get into this, I wanted to talk to you about how to deal with your family on Thanksgiving. Whether you're single or in a relationship or even married, there's always going to be questions that your family is going to ask you when you are home with them on Thanksgiving. So when you're single, they're going to ask you, are you dating anyone? Is there anyone special? Why haven't you found someone? Are you too picky? Blah, blah, blah. All you need to do is smile and say, I'm working on myself and I'll let you know when there's someone you should know about, aka fuck off, and I will tell you if there's someone, so there's no need to ask. If you're in a relationship, your family might say something like, why don't you live together? When are you moving in? When are you getting married? When are you getting engaged? Again, you should say, I will let you know when there is news or an update. And then you can get excited. But until then, please, again, fuck off. I mean, don't say that, but you get the gist. And if you are married and they're saying, when are you going to have a baby? Or when are you going to do this? Again, or when are you going to get a house? I will let you know when we are making a development that you should know about. If you are a family member and you are listening to this and you do this to your family members, stop. No one likes it. It's obnoxious. And how would you like it if people in your family started harassing you about your life choices? It's not fun. Thanksgiving and the holidays are hard, so try to maintain your composure and try to be kind in your response and know that how someone feels about your relationship status has everything to do with them and nothing to do with you. If you're single and they're asking you questions, maybe they wish they were single. If you're in a relationship and they're asking you questions, maybe they're in an unhappy one. If you're married and they're asking you questions, maybe they wish they were married. You have no idea, but it's none of your business and it's none of theirs. So keep that in mind. I'm just going to quickly go over a few questions that came up. Someone asked, their partner made a Hinge and tells you that it's a joke. Is it right to be annoyed? Do you have a right to be annoyed? Obviously, you should be annoyed and honestly, you should be done. With that person, someone asked if you can move past cheating. I personally wouldn't be able to because trust is like my number one, but I have no idea what it would be like if I were married, if I had kids. I can't make assumptions. I would say I'd probably try to move past it if I had that, you know, if I had established a life with that person at that point. Somebody asked if you're dating two people at once, when's the right time that you have to choose? I think if you're dating two people at once, you're not interested in either of them, or you're interested maybe in the second one, but you wouldn't have gotten interested in the second one if you were interested in the first, if that makes any sense. So probably break up with both of them. And then someone asked when it's expected or necessary to spend all the holidays together. I think this has a lot to do with where you live, like where your families are. Like for example, my partner spent Thanksgiving with me, I don't know, like 6 months in because, or maybe actually like 8 months, but whatever, because his family's in London and like he didn't have anywhere to go. We would have wanted him there anyway, but you know, like if you both have your family in New York, it's more difficult. So I think you just have to go with the flow. It might not happen until you're engaged. Okay. I think I'm going to just get right into the episode because I'm really excited about it and I want you to hear it. Hope you enjoy. Guys, it's the season that everyone is just putting on the pounds. And it's really hard because everything around us is like, eat this, do that. Like you're cold, do this, do that. And that's just another reason why I'm so obsessed with Sakara. I don't really have the time to cook for myself right now. I'm running around all the time doing shit and I don't want to feel run down. And Sakara has been the best pick-me-up for like just to feel better and to feel healthier. And honestly, to like lose weight and have better skin and like all in a healthy way and to give me more energy. So basically, if you don't already know, Sakara makes organic ready-to-eat meals with nutritious plant-based ingredients. So I had never been plant-based before and it's been my first time ever like this. And I can't explain to you, like it feels amazing. And breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whatever you want. My favorite's the breakfast, but you can do all, you can do one, you can do two. And it totally enhances your energy and improves your digestion. Like you go to the bathroom so much more, sorry to be explicit, but they have these amazing detox teas that come with your order and you can do the teas after every meal. And it's just like immediate digestive situation. And they also have great supplements like probiotics. And honestly, Gwyneth Paltrow is a fan. So if I'm going to look like her, I'm going to keep doing Sakara. So for you guys, since I love you and I want you to try Sakara, also the granola is phenomenal. You can even order it on its own. Go to Sakara.com/acme. You're going to get $60 off your first order. If you go to Sakara.com/acme, $60 off your first order. Just again, Sakara.com/acme. I'm telling you, you've seen it on my stories. I'm a huge fan. I live and breathe Sakara at the moment. So if you have any questions, just slide into my DM.
Hey guys, I'm Whitney Port and this is With Wit. A lot of you may know me from reality TV, and the reality is a lot's happened since The Hills. With Wit is dedicated to having real, raw, and occasionally ridiculous conversations with the people who have had a profound impact on me. Because on With Wit, very little is off limits. Subscribe so you don't miss any of the amazing conversations to come. New episodes of With Wit are available every Tuesday on all platforms.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm super excited to be here with my friend Kia.
Hello.
Hello.
How are we doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
Good. Shitty Monday at work, rain.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like I haven't been to the gym in a couple days, so.
Whatever. It's, what did you call it? What kind of season? Tis the season to get fat,
it's
or something?
It's fattening season.
Fattening season.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
It's when you expand your waist anywhere from 2 to 3 sizes.
Yeah, fully.
Bigger, yeah.
You have to have like an array of jeans of different sizes.
Totally. I mean,
to be okay.
I feel like I fluctuate. In June, it's like, dude, you're 32 again. Wow. How did you get back here?
Yeah.
And now it's November. And let's just say, like, thank God Everlane makes a 35 athletic fit.
Oh, I love Everlane.
If it wasn't for an athletic fit jean, I'd probably be. Mm-hmm.
And Everlane like runs screwed big. So I fit into a size that I don't normally fit into in real life.
There you go.
So I'm just like, thanks for lying to me. Like, let's continue this lie together, you know?
Yeah.
Talking about fluctuation, do you think that you notice when anyone else fluctuates their weight, or like it's just a you thing?
I feel like I'm not paying attention as much to the people around me's weight. I know that weight is, at least for me, it's like I pay so much attention to myself, and I know that this time of the year, I tend to give up on whatever extreme fitness goal that I had in place, which is like, you're going to get all this muscle mass. You're going to, you know, have these crazy traps, these bison legs in your neck. And it's like, okay, no, I'm just like the way I look every November. So I'm not really paying attention to anyone else, because I know how also like self-conscious everyone is.
Yeah.
But for myself, like, I'm such a self-critic, and I'm so aware of even the smallest changes that I'll know, like, I'll feel the 1 pound.
Yeah.
I will. And I'll be like, dude, you're giving up right now.
Right.
Like, you're a single guy in New York who can't afford. I didn't forecast 2 pounds more this winter, you know?
Yeah,
like, this is not fitting into my forecast.
Yeah, totally. Wait, so let's back up a little bit. We're going to start the way we start every episode, which is, how old are you and where are you from?
I'm 26 years old. You're from Santa Monica.
Baby. I thought you were 29 like me. You're an infant. I'm jealous.
Every time I say I'm 26 to anybody, I get that same reaction.
Yeah,
From Santa Monica, born and raised. Parents are from Tehran, Iran. My sister and I are both first generation. Growing up, trying to assimilate with all our Caucasian friends in Santa Monica, which was interesting.
There's a huge Persian community, or is it not usually in Santa Monica?
There's a massive community in Los Angeles. I'd say like 90% of it has found their way to Beverly Hills and is just like, you know, really, really extreme gold lions in the front of their apartments and buildings.
Right.
And Santa Monica, not so much. Which was hilarious, because hilariously confusing, actually, because our parents tried so hard growing up for us to feel like the other kids, like my friend Aiden and Rudy, whose parents are Luke and Jet, when my dad is Farshid and my friend's dad is Badiola. Like, they tried so hard, and it's been coming up a lot as my sister and I get older. We're like, damn, like, we didn't realize how hard you guys tried to have us like assimilate and integrate with everyone else. And my mom was like, yeah, you were really frustrated as a kid that dad's name was Farshid, but your friend Rudy's dad's name was Jet.
Right.
I was like, really? That's something that I was complaining about? Like, that was what was bothering me at that time?
Well, I think kids are just like so annoyingly upfront and honest with each other that someone was probably like, why is that his name? Like, it's long and I don't know how to say it. You know? And
like,
you were just like, dad, can you change your name? Like,
and it's like, you know, I got all the, my dad's name is Farshid Farhad, which, you know, turned into fart head with all the bullying growing up. So like, I get it now that I look back on it. And I'm super grateful for my parents. Like, you guys tried so hard to make growing up easy for us.
Yeah.
And now I'm having this aha moment where it's like, holy shit, I've never wanted to embrace the fact that I'm Kia Farhad and like not anyone else and not from any other culture more.
Right, totally.
So I'm not really sure how I got there, but that's
no, but
that's
I love
we
that.
Are.
We like, as we get older, we love to embrace like what's unique about us. But when we're younger, like that's the last thing that we want to do. We just want to, and I was talking about this in an episode recently with my friend Michaela, like, we just don't want to be noticed. Like, we don't want to be called out. Like, we're going through puberty. We have like a weird zit on our forehead.
Lots
like,
of acne.
Please don't look at me. Like, I don't want to stand out in any way. Whereas now it's like, who has the cooler Instagram? Who's living the cooler life? Like, who is just doing the most?
And it's interesting because now I'm starting to feel like at least the friends around me, everyone's like, do less.
Yeah.
You know, pull back.
Right.
You want to have less of a scene profile sure. or image. Because I think we're all just like so suffocated by how much time we spend comparing ourselves and like comparing our image, where we're at in life.
Right.
Do we have enough money? Do we have the right relationship? Like so many things. We're being exposed to so many parts of other people's lives
right.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the best parts about them too. It's like no one's ever showing you, you know, how hard it was to get over a breakup or
right.
the fact that they're struggling with like premature ejaculation or something.
Yeah,
like,
no.
None
one.
Of that.
Mm-mm.
It's just.
It's a highlight reel.
Welcome to Mykonos.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Lindsay Lohan video.
Exactly.
Welcome
exactly.
to Mykonos, bitch. Okay, so let's just get this out of the way because I don't know if Juliet told you this. Shout out to Juliet who set us up.
Big shout out,
to
Jules.
Do this. But we'll get astrology out of the way because I'm into it, obviously. What I think I know what your sign is, but enlighten me anyway.
Do you want me to tell you first?
Well, I think you're a Leo.
I'm not.
Oh.
And for full transparency, I don't know too much about okay. my sign. I just know that every time I have my reveal, it's always met with
reveal.
What the fuck? Like, I don't think we can do
well,
this.
Because oh, I'm a Gemini. Oh, Gemini. Oh.
And it seems to get a lot of
I don't,
backlash all the time.
People love to hate on Geminis, but there's, I mean, like a developed Gemini is harmless. Like it's an immature Gemini that like, you know, might want to throw some shots.
What's a defined or what's like an aged mature Gemini? What are the characteristics?
Well, I think it depends. Okay. Well, like I think a mature Gemini, and by the way, I'm not an astrologer, so I could totally fuck this up. But I think a mature Gemini, like, you know, tries to work through their feeling of like being so easily bored with everything and everyone instead of just like being like, okay, I'm done with you. Next, like you have an interest, like you're just not interesting to me. Goodbye.
Right.
Which I feel like is like an immature Gemini thing. A mature Gemini like can hold their tongue every now and then, whereas like an immature Gemini will just like say something that's just so hurtful, you know, and like laugh at like what happens next.
Right.
And
total disregard of the other side.
Yeah, totally. And I think a mature Gemini is like, I don't know. I mean, I think this is with every sign and every person, but like more ready and open to like seeing one person at a time, you know?
I think I'm definitely on the outer phase of the young, like immature Gemini. But I'm still fearful every time I say that I'm a Gemini when I'm dating someone or I'm just meeting someone and astrology comes up.
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly met with, oh, so you're going to lie and be one way to my face and then sleep with my roommate. And there's
no.
just like this crazy narrative.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
How many psycho Geminis have you been with?
That's crazy. I mean, truthfully, I've been with a psycho Gemini. But I will say that... you know, looking back, like it wasn't that he was that bad. We just weren't good for each other. But the one thing that like threw me over the edge was like, he'd always try to like hurt me when like, if like we were breaking up or something, like he'd go out of his way to like say something that was
like consciously say that.
Yeah. But like when we were dating, like there were no issues. The only issue I had was that like he talked to so many people. And like, that's like, cause I think I was young at the time and I was like immature. And I think like part of being Gemini, and again, maybe this is everyone, but like, is you want to talk all the time. You need like constant stimulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
which is fine if you're with someone who can constantly stimulate you, you know?
I think my problem is that I constantly need stimulation, but the ways that I seek out the stimulation are, like my ideal date night is if someone would respond to my text like, hey, do you want to come over and like watch rap videos on YouTube together and
yeah.
like maybe get high?
Right.
That's my like fix and need. And that's yeah. very often not it doesn't sound enticing enough.
Right. Well, not necessarily. Here. Not to the right person who's like into that stuff too.
True.
Which leads me to my next question. What's your relationship status at the moment?
So I'm single. Mm-hmm. I've been single for almost 3 years. And part of my approach right now is like, I feel like I do have PTSD from my last relationship and even from my first like mature relationship that was actually in college. So I don't know how mature we can call that, but right. I feel like I have a bit of PTSD and I've given myself this narrative of like, you don't need anyone else right now. Like it's not even a narrative. It's like, I'm just more so trying to be happy with me because I've been fiending off other people's like approval and other people's like satisfaction with who I am for so long that I've never actually had time to be like, okay, well, I'm not dating anyone. I'm self-reliant. I'm now living in New York where I don't have family. I have a couple friends. I kind of have to figure it out for myself and I can't keep putting my happiness in other people.
Right.
So yeah, like the last 3 years, it's been really great. I mean, I was also living in San Francisco for 2 years, which I have my own opinion on as a city.
You think it sucks?
Yes. I would be totally okay with like a nice like 5.5 earthquake hitting San Francisco. Not actually for anyone who's from San Francisco.
That's hilarious. No, I get that. But going back to your last relationship, if that's okay, what was like traumatic about the way that it ended? You know, how long was it?
I came out of the relationship in college. It lasted just a little bit after I graduated. And it's really important that we talk about the first one first because I was in a situation where I was dating a person whose personality was so similar to mine, who was loud, who commanded attention in any room she was in. She was super feisty. Like, we had a very, very intense physical relationship that was essentially keeping this relationship afloat. But deep down, we had this like almost pure hatred towards one another because like, you're taking my shine. Right.
Like, you both wanted to be alpha.
We both wanted to be alpha so fucking bad. And what ended up happening was like, we dated for 2 years. About a year in, I cheated. We were just having a really rough patch and I cheated and I lied about it and I held it onto that lie for a year.
And why did you have to lie? Like, did she find out and you were like, no?
I was so delusional at the time. And this was like pre my awakening, I'd say. Like, I was really not, like, I hadn't grown into myself. I wasn't comfortable with who I was at the time. Like, it was hard for me to own up to the fact that I had just done something so hurtful. And also at the time, I was like, am I like a sociopath for doing this? No, right? Because I feel so much. I feel so guilty.
Yeah, and it was college.
And it was college, right? And I was fucked up. We're all fucked up all the time.
Right.
And yeah, so long story short, that I ended up coming clean after a year because I was suffocating in my own guilt on top of the fact that I felt so bad about hurting this person and leading them on, like her thinking I'm a liar and I'm a deceitful, just like, you know, asshole. So I got into this next relationship fairly quickly after that one had ended. And I lied again saying, you know, I'm ready for this. She's like, are you ready? Like, you just came out of this relationship 4 months ago. You seem really, really fucked up from this. You know, you seem like mentally, I don't know you too well, but you seem mentally not there. And I was like, no, I am ready.
Right.
One thing we really bonded on was like doing drugs, which wasn't a great like thing to have in common when you're just enabling each other.
Right. Like weed or something more?
Like pills.
Yeah.
And weed at that point wasn't considered the drug.
Sure.
It was
sure.
Like Xanax. It was like
right. Like anything to get you away from how you were feeling at the moment.
To numb.
Yeah.
To really, really disassociate myself from the reality of how sad I was for hurting this person.
Right.
Because I was just like I was like, I hate myself for doing this. I feel so terrible. So I got into this other relationship. The person I was dating, very, very unstable emotionally, has a really hard background with her family. Poor thing, like inherited a lot of these issues. And She had moved up to San Francisco. I was living there. She was struggling with her roommates. She got this fucking Bengal cat. And
what is a Bengal cat?
A Bengal cat is, it's a partially wild animal. It's like 0.01% wild cat, looks like a tiger or looks like a leopard.
Oh boy.
Has this really intimidating coat. It's right. Big. It jumps. It's a total freak. And she got this cat that she was starting to lose her mind over. And this cat basically intruded the relationship. And I started to live in, seriously, I started to live in fear.
Stop.
Going over to her apartment. I had just gotten fired from one of the biggest companies in the world while I was living in San Francisco. Had to give up my lease, was living with her and this cat for 3 months. Oh, and God. I was losing it.
In San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. So already like
and,
going through
And just
it.
To step back for a second, how did you meet her? Like, how'd you find her?
So she also went to my college.
Okay.
And we didn't know each
you
other.
Like reconnected.
We didn't know each other in school, but we like met through mutual friends after we had both graduated, and none of my fucking friends said anything wrong. No one said that like she's unstable or she has issues, whatever. Like no one said anything. I was also not in a place where I was going to like listen to anyone else. This feels right. I'm going to, you know, put my energy here.
Do you remember her sign or her birthday?
I don't.
It's fine. You probably blacked it out after everything.
I don't. Yeah, I really don't. I feel like it was in October.
Okay, whatever. So.
So she got this cat. The cat. Basically, the cat was attacking us in the middle of the night. I'm talking fangs through my cheek while you're dead asleep.
What the fuck?
And she's sitting here telling me that it's not me. It's not the cat. And it's myself and her roommate who's now one of my closest friends and who was my closest friend at the time. She also didn't know anything about my ex at the time. And so this cat started to intrude on my sanity. So every time I'd go over there, not only am I jobless looking for work for the second time in 2 years since graduating school, I'm like fearful of going to my girlfriend's apartment because this cat's going to attack me.
And you were vocal about this?
And I was vocal about it. And the problem was she was like, it's not the cat. It's you.
Then I'd be like,
bye. She was so delusional.
Yeah.
And I tried to end it. And I was weak. Like, I'm going to recognize that. Like, I wasn't strong enough to stand up for myself and stand up for what wasn't right. But she would threaten to like
hurt herself?
To do things. Yeah, to hurt herself and stuff. And like, you know, I feel a lot and I care and I, you know, I have a heart. Like, at that moment, I was like, I'm going to put my shit aside. Maybe I can make this work. Like, poor thing. Like, she's clearly going through something too.
Right.
And then as, you know, the months went on, it was just like, no, this is like a very emotionally manipulative relationship.
Yeah.
So we had this really overly dramatic final breakup where I was just like, I can't do this. Honestly, like, whatever you're going to do, like, it's not, I know it's not because of me.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I have to walk away from this. Fuck your cat. Like, fuck your whole life. Like, I was just like, I need to look out for myself.
Yeah.
I have to. And some things happened with the cat on my way out.
The cat attacked you on your way out?
The cat attacked me on my way out.
Holy shit. This is why I can't do people with cats. Like,
no, and this was like such a clear indicator for me. It's like moving forward, a red flag of mine. And maybe, yes, I'm carrying this fucking nasty PTSD over. But like, if you have a cat in general, I don't fuck with you.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who feels that way about dogs, which like is really hard because she went through an experience with an ex who shared a dog with his ex.
Wow.
And it was always a thing, like coming in between them, like physically and mentally. And it was like, and like he once like drove with her somewhere and had her sit in the back.
You're kidding.
And the dog sit in the front.
See, that's the same level of delusion though. Cause I remember asking her, I was like, if it came down to it, like if it was me or the cat, she's like, I picked the fucking cat. You're probably gonna leave me in a year anyways.
She obviously had a lot of emotional issues.
Yeah. So for reasons why we can't share, the cat's missing and that she never found the cat again.
Did you do something to the cat?
I didn't do anything to the cat. But the cat is gone. It's out of everyone's lives. She actually hit me up saying, hey, like I know that the cat had all these problems. Like I got rid of the cat, even though I know she didn't get rid of it. It's missing. She's like, the cat's out of the picture. Like, can we like reconcile? But I was so fucked up emotionally from this that I was like, I can't open this back up.
That
it really
is
has
insane.
I don't feel like we're scratching the surface of this, but it has...
No pun intended.
It has legitimately prevented me from being fully intimate with anyone else right now, because I'm just like, that was so much.
That Plus does sound like a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. But moving past that...
Like, I feel like I'm about to relapse into thought right
now.
Yeah.
No, it's triggering. It's triggering.
Very triggering.
It's triggering. But... So now you're in the city. You've been in the city for how long?
I've been living in New York for almost 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
What has being single in New York been like? Are you on dating apps? Do you rely on setups? Like, are you just meeting people organically?
On the dating app thing, I signed up for, or I got like the invitation to Raya or whatever.
Yeah.
Honestly, there was way too many profile optimizations that I was like, I'm way too paranoid to put this together. Like, I don't know what song I'm going to pick, like what five songs I'm going to pick. Like,
wait, I thought it was just one song.
Is it one? I thought you had like a soundtrack.
I was on it before I met my boyfriend. And I think it's just one song, and the one song is the soundtrack.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
I thought I saw more.
Maybe it's more complicated now. Whatever. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's like, I panicked. I was like, I'm not ready to. And then I told myself, you know, I'm not ready to date yet. When I first moved here, this is very classic. So obviously have like a come to Jesus in San Francisco. I was like, I hate my life. I don't know why I'm here. I need to move. I need to figure it out. My sister, a friend of a friend of my sister's, was like, come to Burning Man.
Of course.
Very classic, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, whatever. So went to Burning Man. Wasn't really drinking the Kool-Aid with all the like, you know, like spirituality shit when all these people are like super wealthy and super like, you know, shove a crystal up your ass and suddenly like all of your like anxieties and pains are cleared.
But yep.
I went and met all these wonderful people that have a community in New York. So when I got to New York, I was like, fuck, I have all these friends already. Like I have this pool of people that I can rely on for dating, to get introduced to other cool people, like-minded people, for like social life, for partying. So for the first like 6 months, 7 months, I was heavy in that scene. And it was very confusing with dating, because like I'd go out with, also I'm younger than like everyone by like 7 or 8 years. Not that it makes a big difference, but like they've all grown. Everyone's grown a lot more than I have. And I'd go out with these ladies and like I feel so inadequate for where I'm at personally with my growth. And they'll be telling me that like, you know, they've had these like really, really intense relationships with these men that like, you know, helped them figure out that like they didn't need X, Y, and Z from a man or whatever. It's like, I'm barely getting over the two only relationships that I've had that have ended in absolute turmoil. Like, I don't know if I'm the right person to be talking to you right now.
Right. But you're just friends with those people. Like, you're not dating people or they introduce you to people, and so like, how does that work?
They introduced me to other friends of theirs in that same group.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also this insecurity that I felt when I'd go out on these dates where I can't talk to some of the elements of like how passionate they are about spirituality and like, you know, all the work that they're doing. Studying like Carl Jung and stuff. I'm like, I can't talk to any of this.
Yeah.
And there was so much disconnect when I'd go out on these dates. I did have a couple like pretty fun encounters that were relatively short lived, but I was like, some of these people are my people, but in terms of dating, like this is not what I'm looking for.
Right.
We're not on the same wavelength right now.
What are you looking for? Like, have you figured it out yet, or you're still like rocking along?
Honestly, I'm like just getting comfortable with like the person I'm becoming. I'm realizing that like I'm just starting to feel good about like where I'm at with my career, where I am like at 26 living in New York City. Like I'm just finally starting to be like, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking for anything when it comes to dating. I'm just looking for some fun, intense, intimate sex.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Would you say a lot of people, like guys you know who are 26 as well, are kind of on the same page as you? Or do you have friends like getting married and all that shit?
So back in LA, I have like a big community of Persian friends, and that side of my friend group and of my life, I'm talking second or third kids.
Oh, for sure.
Double mortgage.
I know them. I know,
like,
those people.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting over here talking to my parents about a reality where I may not actually even have a family.
Mm. Would they want you to have a Persian wife, or is
no?
That-
and that's why I feel so blessed to have my parents, because like, they're two of the more Western, Middle Eastern Americans that I've met, that I know, probably the most. No pressure to get married. No pressure to be a doctor, architect, engineer, lawyer. No pressure on religious affiliation. Nothing. Growing up, they're like, do you want to go to Baha'i school, or do you want to like get into Islam? And I was like, fuck no.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Wait, and what
about baseball?
Is your sister older or younger?
She's older.
And it's the two of you?
It's the two of us, yeah.
And do they give her the same treatment, or are they more like, are they harder on her?
I wouldn't say they're harder on her, but they ask, obviously, because I, you know, she's like 32.
Yeah.
Or 30. Sorry, Nika, if you're listening. they ask, but they're also most concerned with our happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand that times have changed from when they were here. And like, making it isn't just about having the house and having the family and reproducing and growing.
No.
It's like, you have to really be conscious about what you're bringing into this world, so they don't pressure us as much. And they know how much pressure we're already under from ourselves, from our peers. So that's honestly a blessing.
I don't understand why it is that some, like, most parents think that making it is getting married and having a child. Like, I mean, unless you're so simple that truly fulfills you and you're good for life, you know?
Exactly.
That's not realistic.
It's not realistic, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
For me, at least, to be like, and again, young, but one of my buddies at work just had a kid, and I was holding this small baby. I'm like, damn, this is so cute. But like, you're bringing life into this world right now.
Right.
I need to have my shit so much more together.
Right.
So much more together.
Right.
Like, it's not even like, I'm talking push 10 years to even consider it.
Mm.
I don't feel comfortable. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
Right. But like, why did our parents feel comfortable doing that shit at like 26? Do you think it was just like a different world? Like,
I think my parents had pressure.
Right.
I think my parents both fled Iran.
Right.
My dad in like the early 70s, my mom during the revolution. They came to the U.S. They're like, okay, well, we're here. What was the purpose of coming here for us?
Starting a family.
We've already, you know, lived the first, you know, quarter and a half of our life.
Right.
We want to have kids. We want kids to be Americans.
Right.
We want them to grow up in the U.S., not have to leave their country, not go from like a free country in Iran. Free loosely, but a country that wasn't under Islamic rule to suddenly, you know, if you're anything but Muslim, you have to get out. Like, no, they want to raise kids where they can be free and have a good time and like grow up and try and have dreams and actually execute on them.
Yeah.
So part of me, like with my dad, it's like, I think he sees a lot of what he wanted to do in life through me. Because whenever I talk to him about like my experiences in New York, it's like, fuck yeah, I'm so happy and so glad that you're doing that. Like, it's clearly bringing you so much joy. That's bringing me joy.
Yeah. Your parents seem amazing.
But yeah, so dating in New York's been challenging.
So if right now you're looking for sex, which is totally cool, like so many people are looking for that. And you know, it's more like they just say like something casual, you know, how do you go about that when you do meet someone that you're interested in? Are you like straight up about that from the beginning, or do you kind of not say that in case your mind changes and maybe you have stronger feelings?
Yeah. I don't want to be closed off to love, because I remember what it felt like when I thought I was in love, and it's a very powerful, and you can just feel it. It's like, okay, I really feel something about this person. It's beyond just like physical intimacy. And I actually was seeing someone more recently where I started to feel that come on, and I was like, damn, I'm really, really starting to like this person. I'm really liking how we like have similar approaches to dating too, where she's like not looking to jump into something and just, you know, play it as it goes. And if it turns into a relationship and we're vibing and we connect, so be it. But I was so honest with her. I was like, look, I'm just looking to do something open. I fully understand if you don't want to do that. Like, by like, that's fine. We don't have to do anything. Of course. Like, mm-hmm. I get that. And then it came, and then it turned in, and then it like snowballed into this weird, like, no, I still want to see you.
You saying I still want to see you.
No, her saying I still want to see you. And I was like, okay, that's great. Like, let's see each other. And we start seeing each other. And then I was still operating this independent, you know, doing my own thing lifestyle. And she started to like say, hey, but we're hanging out this much and we're talking this much. But I didn't feel like anything was changing. It was just like two people that are casually seeing each other.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where I was like, I don't want to like engage in anything more than this. Like, I had to be so explicit about it. And also that I don't want to only be engaging with you.
Meaning, you didn't want her to think you were exclusive.
Yeah, I don't want her to think I was exclusive. And I hinted at it at first, but like, I wasn't fully comfortable saying that right away, even though I knew that's what I wanted. I didn't know how she was going to react and whether that was going to completely tarnish things. But like a month later, I was like, no, I just want to be clear, because like, I do want to be open to other possibilities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't end well.
Well, I can't imagine it did if her intentions were to be with just you.
See, I didn't know that she never told me that she wanted to be with
me. So if she had said to you explicitly, like, Kia, I hear you, but like, I'm interested in like an actual relationship. And if you can't give me that, like, I'm out. Would you have been like more turned on?
I would have been so like appreciative of her honesty first. And then I'd be honest and be like, I can't give you that.
Yeah. But you said to me like just a second ago that you felt like you were getting strong feelings for her. So for the ladies listening, like, that's a mind fuck. Like, you can tell when someone's starting to get strong feelings for you. And then when they pull away or say something like, I don't want to be with you, you're just like, are you lying to yourself?
I think.
And you're like, can I change this person? Like, you know,
I think in this situation, I genuinely was. And I wasn't open to love.
Mm-hmm.
I do think so. I actually know so. But again, like, I've worked really hard on some personal development and some growth the last couple months to get to where I am. And I want to continue doing this. And the reality is, like, I don't think I can do that with anyone else in my life like that.
So it's just timing.
And she's like, you're not being open to love. This is going against everything you're saying. And I'm like, you're right. Like, I am a bit of a hypocrite right now. Like, this is, I'm going back on my word, but I need to do this.
Yeah.
And I also had like some other judgments.
Right.
Where I was like, okay, I'm not, okay, Kiel, like, you're not being present right now. You're not thinking about this relationship in the moment. You're thinking, you know, 5 years down the line, and you're getting in your own head about it. But this is all the shit that was coming up. That was enough for me to be like, I'm not ready to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
So if someone has said to me before, like, when a guy says, I'm not looking for a relationship right now, and you've been hooking up, like, you've been seeing each other, they're forgetting two words, which are with you. Do you agree with that? Meaning, like, it's not really timing. Like, if you really felt that, like, passion and love, and like, you couldn't let this girl go,
I just don't know.
You would have locked it down.
I just don't know if me as a person finds that in only one person.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if
you believe in multiple soulmates.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's like aligned with really what gives me life.
Right.
And I think what has been giving me life is being able to have multiple partners that I've been connecting with in different ways, like doing different shit with, like,
yeah,
exploring myself through them.
And that might be what you want going forward forever.
Yeah. And with this most recent woman that I was seeing, like, I told her this the second time we hooked up. I did.
Right. So it's like, when someone tells you who they are, believe it the first time.
And like, that was also a lesson for me, where it's like, a lot of people want, like, even me, it's like, when I was told that I couldn't get my ex the first time I met her, like, she didn't want me, I was like, well, now I just want it 15,000 times.
Yeah, of course. And like,
you hear
from a girl, like, I'm not interested in like a one-on-one thing. And you're like, oh, well, I'll make him interested, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to play this game. And I'm going to ask you, we do these poll questions on our Instagram. So I'm going to ask you what your answers would be. It's usually yes or no or like true or false.
Okay.
So we'll do like rapid fire. Do women turn into their mothers physically?
Yes.
Well, that's good for me.
We're going to see a picture of your mother.
I'll show you. Is it a red flag if your partner was away from Thursday to Sunday and wants to be alone Sunday night when they get home because they're tired?
No.
I agree. I'm always fucking tired. And also, like, it depends if you're getting home at like 2 p.m. or 10 p.m. Like, yeah, if 10 p.m., it's like, yeah, bye.
If you're traveling, go to bed. It's fine.
Right.
There's no assumption that we need to hang out.
Right. What comes first, Instagramming a new partner or meeting their parents?
Meeting their parents.
Yeah. But most people said the Insta because they're trash. Do your parents need to meet your partner's parents before you move in together if you're adults?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Judging off my sister's relationship.
Mm. Is she in LA?
She's in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Still fuck San Francisco.
Yeah. But not when she's in it.
But not when she's in it. Only when she's traveling for work.
Yeah. You're in a relationship for 10 months and everything is amazing. You're ready to live together, but they say they're not ready yet. Is it too early?
No, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Your partner tells you in confidence that their friend cheated on their bachelorette party. You're friendly with their fiance. Is it wrong to keep this to yourself?
No.
But as a Gemini, would you repeat it? No, I'm just kidding. Do you feel like, oh, well,
how many Geminis answered that one? We need to find out.
Yeah, literally. Is it a red flag if they say, let's rain check our date tonight since we saw each other last night?
It's really hard for me to say no. I know it's not a red flag, but I would feel like that's my anxiety would lead me to be like, yeah, it's a red flag.
Well, yeah, I would just be like, why are you limiting? Yeah. Well, not even about being an eager beaver. I'd be like, why are you limiting our time and like tallying how many nights we've spent together? Like, that's just like weird toxic
bullshit.
Yeah.
And if it was good and if you genuinely had a great time.
Right.
And you're free.
Right. It's fucked up.
Totally.
Do you believe that simple people get married before 30?
Yes.
I agree. But most people didn't agree because they're simple and married. Is it a red flag or a deal breaker if they still sleep with their childhood blanket and penguin?
Blanket, yes. Penguin, no. I have a monkey that I still sleep with. And that's
wow.
My boy.
Wow. Yeah, but you're not looking for a relationship, so maybe it is a deal breaker.
True.
Okay, Kia, you've been so awesome. We usually end our episodes with a quote or a piece of advice that you can share that's been helpful to your life.
Yeah, actually, my mom and I have been talking a lot the last couple weeks because I've been expressing a lot of frustrations with work and how I'm letting work dictate my happiness. And she reminded me over text, which totally fucked me up. Monday morning, 7 in the morning, first thing you read, just stressed out, don't want to go to work. Mom sends you a text that just breaks you down on the two. She's like, always remember to give little Kia inside what he needs to play and what makes him so happy when he plays. Don't lose sight of the things that you need to make yourself and the youth in you happy, and always remember to play. For me, like, a lot of that was like video games, was skating, was like directing little short films. It was like doing little like short stories, humorous little bits. And it's definitely something that I've forgotten in the last 6 months. So really, it was really profound for me. So yeah, always play like a little kid and play like the little kid in you that love to play. Also, as life goes on, life will go on.
I love those. Amazing. Where can people find you if you would allow them to follow you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Kia Forte. Yes, like the car. I always get tagged in these new car purchases. It'll be like some kid in the Philippines and he's tagged every single Kia dealership in the nation.
Funny.
He just got a brand new car.
That's epic.
But yeah, at Kia Forte.
Amazing.
That's about it.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hope everyone enjoyed the episode. Check out wemetatacme.com/tour for information on our upcoming shows. We've got a really good one in DC, January 28th. So make sure you get a ticket and write us a review if you enjoyed the episode, and don't write us a review if you didn't enjoy the episode, because that's really fucked up. All
right. I'll take it personally.
Yeah, exactly. Have a good one.